Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
And welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Howdy everyone, and welcome back to the program. I've got a weird one for you tonight. All sorts of spooky odds and ends. And we have a lot to cover this evening. So let's cut the chit-chat and push play on our very first entry. So Jake from Oregon, welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. This is Jake from McMinnville, Oregon. This story is from when I was about 8 years old, so roughly 30 years ago. I was staying with my buddy at his grandma's house, first time I had ever been there, and I was not good at sleeping over places. I never stayed the night places because I preferred to be home. I liked to have friends stay over, but I didn't really go stay places. We were hanging out at his grandma's place, and just doing our thing, normal day, and I was doing good. But nighttime came, and ready to go to bed. This is a small house, no extra bedrooms or anything. So me and my buddy were crashed out in the living room in sleeping bags. And you walk in the front door, and you're in the living room, and then to the left is a long hallway with about three doors in it. At the far end, there's a door to the left that goes into the master, and at the close end, right next to pretty much where I was sleeping in the living room, there was a door to the right that goes into a restroom. And he fell asleep. Like I said, I'm not good at staying places, so I was still awake and could not sleep. And it was dark, but my eyes were adjusted to the night, so I could see down the hallway, I could see the doors, I could see everything. I'm laying there with just my face exposed, you know, watching, looking down the hallway, and then I noticed, stepping out of the end door, the far end of the hallway, a figure. It looked like a man. It was 5'10", 6 foot, a good sized man, but no features. It looked like what you hear people describe of a shadow man. It was a silhouette. I could see arms. I could see legs. I could see the head. There was no clothes, no facial features, no nothing, no fingers, but I could see it walking down the hallway. And this wasn't a shadow man, I want to say. This was like what you hear people call a static man. It was like salt and pepper on a TV, just no pepper. It was just salt, see-through like a thick fog. And it stepped out of the far end of the hallway and walked down at a nice, normal, slow pace. And I could see its arms swinging. I could see its legs moving. And about 5 feet before it got to me, where I was sleeping in the living room, it took that turn into the bathroom. and I just couldn't believe what I'd seen. And I'm laying there, petrified. And then it steps out again, 10 or 15 seconds later, at the far end of the hallway, and walked all the way down the hallway, coming directly at me. And then right before it gets to me, it walks and steps into the bathroom, exactly the same as before. It did this over and over again. I don't know how long. I could have watched it for a half an hour. I could have watched it for 2 hours. I'm not sure. I didn't have sleep paralysis. I could have moved. I was physically restraining myself from moving because I was terrified it would see me. But it was as if it was on rails. Exactly the same every time. Step out of the far door, walk all the way down the hallway directly at me, and turn off into the bathroom. It was as if it was living out its final moment, I don't know, stuck in time, but I can see it very well in my head, still to this day. And I brought this up to my dad about a year ago, and I didn't even have to bring up any of the facts or points of it. He remembered, he said, when I came home and I told him about a white ghost essentially walking down the hallway over and over again, and I didn't even have to prompt him with those facts. He brought those up to me, so he remembers me telling him that. And that really just solidified things for me. But it was crazy. I've never heard anybody on the show talk about something on rails like this before, where it just repeats itself over and over again. I remember very well all the way to this day. I love your show. My brother turned me on to your show about a year ago. I binge listen. And if you end up sharing this, I appreciate it and would love to hear it. All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jake. Now, why does this stuff always seem to happen during sleepovers? Maybe it's because everyone is already amped up, primed and on guard for scares or pranks or whatever the evening might have in store. Or perhaps nerves are a factor here, because you're staying in a strange place. Or maybe it's because whatever might be inhabiting said house is curious and wants to see who these new humans are sleeping on its floor. Now, Jake had mentioned the Static Man, a ghostly entity that we've talked about here on the show a time or two in the past. Not too dissimilar from the Glimmer Man sightings we hear frequently. They don't seem to be ghosts. They don't seem to be cryptids. They might be our own military. Or they might be from somewhere we can't even dream of. But there is a small correlation here that I feel as a paranormal entertainer that I must at least mention. McMinnville, Oregon. The city Jake is calling from is very well known for a couple of photographs made over three quarters of a century ago.
And outside the sleepy town of McMinnville, Oregon, a simple farmer and his wife quietly tended to their crops, fed their animals, and photographed alien spaceships.
I looked up and saw this thing in the sky. Well, it was bronze on the top and silver on the bottom. I would say right around the size of a big parachute, maybe a little bit bigger.
Evelyn Trent was outside tending to the rabbits when she caught a glimpse of the strange object. She yelled for her husband, Paul, to bring the camera.
And he took the picture of it as it was straight and then as it tipped. And just, I mean, really went. It went fast.
Now, as best as I can figure, that clip was from an old television program called Dateline. And it may still be on the air, I'm not sure. Either way, I've linked to this clip in the show notes, along with a link to a longer documentary with more from the Trents and the McMinnville UFO. Just hit up those show notes. Now, if you haven't picked up on it, the correlation here is that this world-famous UFO just happened to be photographed in the very same small town that Jake had his unbelievable experience in. It's probably nothing, but I wouldn't be doing my duty if I had not at least mentioned the possible connection. It's great stuff, Jake. And we thank you again for calling in. Now, folks, I have all sorts of spooky in store for you tonight. We might even meet the devil himself. But first, a quick word from tonight's sponsors. Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, and even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might just sell credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Throw an MRI on his left oblique after he was scratched from the lineup.
Now we're so glad to have you back with us. And this next entry is chock full of ghosts. It'll make you happy that you returned. Michaela, out of Montana, go ahead with your story.
Hi, Derek. My name is Michaela. I am based in the Flathead region of Montana, and I've got two stories to share with you. These stories do not take place out here in Montana, but they do take place in a suburb about 30 minutes west of Chicago. I would like to set the scene of the house that I was living in at the time. To start, the street that we had lived on only had a few houses. On our side of the street specifically, there was a house at the corner of the block, then a swamp, a 1-acre open land area that was right next to my house, and then a cemetery on the other side of that. It was a very quiet area when cars weren't passing by, especially at night. Very quiet, very peaceful. The house itself had two floors separated by a set of stairs, which the front door sat in front of the two flights of stairs. It sat dead middle. So when my sister and I were young, we had always, like always had issues with the basement. It was always cold. It was always just creepy. We felt like we weren't alone down there, as if we were being watched pretty much. We also had an issue with fighting constantly and pushing each other's buttons at the time, but one thing that we could always agree on was going downstairs to the basement to watch TV together. We had a leather couch and a leather chair in the basement, which surrounded the TV, and my sister and I, we would always refuse to sit anywhere else but together. We would squish ourselves into the one chair and sit there and watch TV for however long. The basement itself had a spare bedroom, a detached bathroom from that bedroom, the laundry room, and then a storage room that sat off the back of the laundry room. We avoided it at all costs because it was unfinished, creepy, cold, tons of spiders. It was just a no for young girls. Over time, my sister and I, we eventually started going down into the basement on our own. And we would sit separately, and we didn't feel the need to be squished together on that single chair anymore. Over time, my mom actually noticed it. She thought it was pretty funny that we were, you know, going downstairs on our own. We weren't really freaked out anymore. She waited a while before she told us why that was. She had a medium, Marianne Winkowski, come to the house. This woman is decently known around the Chicagoland area, and this woman essentially asked the spirits to leave, and things felt better. But as it turned out, we happened to have two little girls who were roughly around the same age as my sister and I that would follow us back and forth between my mom's and my dad's house. These girls sadly died in the Chicago fire. They were sisters who had gotten trapped inside of their Catholic school when the Chicago fire burned. They had followed us home on a day that my sister and I had rode the Ferris wheel in Chicago. I'm assuming they just felt safe with us and they had decided to come back. So after the medium had asked these girls to enter the light, my sister and I slowly stopped fighting nearly as much as we were. We kind of came to realize over time that the more we fought, the more these spirits would feed off of our negative energy, and it would give them enough energy to move things. It would cause my sister and I to bicker and fight more, assuming that the other one had moved something on each other, just to get a rise out of the other one. After the girls had left, we pretty much stopped bickering and started getting along a lot better. We could go down into the basement. We were, you know, fine down there. We didn't feel like we were freezing. And more importantly, we could walk up the stairs without feeling like we were being chased anymore. So that was huge. It was the oddest thing, kind of feeling that shift in energy, just from feeling like we were not alone, like we were being watched, like it was cold and just weird and odd, to being relaxed and almost warm. So that is my first story. Second one's going to be a bit shorter, but it is not my own personal story. It is my sister's. Setting the scene again, this is the cemetery that is next to our house, as I mentioned previously, and my aunt and my sister are going for a walk through the cemetery. My sister is maybe 4 or 5 at the time. My mom and dad were watching me back at the house. My aunt had taken my older sister out for a walk in the cemetery, and as they were walking on the path in the cemetery, my sister asks my aunt a question. She says, "Who's that lady up in the tree?" She really saw a woman sitting on a branch in one of the huge oak trees in the cemetery. My aunt proceeds to ask, "What lady?" as she didn't see anything at all. My sister goes on saying, "That lady with no legs in the tree." My aunt lost it already since my sister saw a woman up in a tree and now she has no legs. My aunt picked my sister up and booked it back home to tell my parents what had happened. They were just as freaked out as my aunt was. They went back to the cemetery to see if they could find what my sister was talking about. Of course they couldn't, as this woman was a spirit. So they started doing some searching around on the gravestones in the cemetery, and they actually came upon a grave of a woman who had died by getting run over by a train. Super sad story, but we unfortunately don't know the full backstory of what had happened, but this woman's legs were taken off by a train in the area and had passed away as a result from it. My sister happened to see this woman, was just curious, not really realizing that this woman was a spirit, and caused my aunt to really freak out. But those are my two stories for today. Thank you to all of those who participate. I love hearing your stories. Thanks, Derek. You have a good one.
Thank you, Michaela. Even if you did break one of my rules, only one story at a time. But great stories they were, although not all that surprising, I guess. Because if I were to poll the audience on where they would expect to see and or encounter a ghost of some sort, I bet a basement and a cemetery would be high up there on the list. But that certainly doesn't make it any less creepy. Thank you again, Michaela, for sharing that entry. Now, folks, if you would like to submit a story for me to share here on the program, just give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or if you have bad reception on your phone, or you're calling from outside the country, Record your story on your voice memo app on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And remember the rules. Call from a quiet place. No moving vehicles. Finish your story, even if that means you have to call back to continue. Don't worry, Connor will fix you up. But don't forget, only one story per call. And I don't limit how many times you can call in, although there are a few of you out there that maybe that should apply to. But I do ask that you submit each story as a separate phone call. It just makes it so much easier on us to not only keep track of the story, but to edit it as well. So please keep these rules in mind as you call in. And again, that number is 888-608-NIGHT. And that email was monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And before I move on, I think I should mention this. I get a lot of emails from people for all sorts of reasons. Now, I look at 99% of what comes through. I only get a chance to respond like 3% of the time. And sometimes that's years later. Producing the show weekly just doesn't give me time to answer everyone. And for that, I am sorry. But I do want you to know that your messages are received. They are read. And they are appreciated. Now, you see, I don't have time to answer emails because I'm busy digging up terrifying tales. Like this one, from Nova, out in New Jersey.
Hi, this is Nova calling again. This story takes place in Union Beach, New Jersey. I did get the information from my mom about her house that was on the Indian burial ground. Where she lived, both her brother and her sister and her as well were hanging out on the back porch. And my mom and my rest of my family actually saw a shadow man wearing a top hat walking in the backyard. And her boyfriend Herman was with them at the time. And he's also a witness of seeing this man with the top hat. The whole town of Union Beach had stuff going on. They found out that it was an Indian burial ground and the house was over 100 years old. There were times where there was footsteps up and down the stairs. My grandmother would constantly yell at my mom or my aunt or my uncle to go to sleep, and they would actually be in their rooms doing their own thing. The neighbors had heard stuff like that from their house as well. And up in their house, the upstairs hallway, they had no light switches at all. My grandmother actually said something to herself out loud, say, man, I wish I had some light in this hallway. And where she was, there was a light bulb. And to turn it on, you would screw it in. It was obviously like unscrewed. I believe they thought it was dead. And after she had said that, the light turned on. And there was Indian drums that my family were able to hear. And one of the other stories that my mom was telling me was the Christmas tree during Christmas at some point actually started to shake, and the ornaments that were on the Christmas tree were flying off of the Christmas tree. And I've actually heard this story from my aunt as well. Both of them remember it vividly. So they think that house was haunted. My mom, my aunt, and my uncle, they still think about it. And I have visited the house, and I have seen somebody in the window. Granted, it could have been the new homeowner, but it could have not been, you know? Thank you so much for your podcast. I'll call back when I get more stories.
Thank you, Nova. Certainly sounds like a lot of activity going on there. And the mention of the Native American burial ground. I hear that trope a lot. And I often wonder how people know that their house was built on one. Did they find the spot marked on an ancient map? Are they finding bodies when they dig in the garden? How do you know? Burial ground or not, it sounded like your family had their hands full. Thank you again, Nova, for sharing your entry. Now next up, we venture back to the state of Oregon, where this unidentified caller has a tale locked and loaded.
Hello, I'm from Portland, Oregon, but this story takes place in Mapleton, Oregon, which is a small town just inland from the coastal city of Florence. It was probably 2019 that this happened. My partner's family has a lovely piece of land in Mapleton, very beautiful, great place to get away. So we were staying there during the summer for a weekend. And one night, I sit up straight in bed, and it's very dark. But for some reason, I just turn my head and look at the window that's right beside the bed. And I see, probably a foot away from the window, a small, golf ball-sized, glowing orb. And it was white, possibly with a blue hue. And it just glides very casually across the span of the window. And trying to shake my partner awake so that they can look at this. But they're dead asleep, snoring, and that's all I saw of it. So there's my orb story. I have just recently found this podcast, and I have been binging it. I just became a Patreon, and I've heard a few mentions of orbs since then, so I thought I'd contribute mine. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Thanks, caller. And thanks for joining us over on Patreon. If you'd like to get more content and help support the show at the same time, please consider supporting us there or through Apple subscriptions. Either way, $5 a month gives you access to days worth of new-to-you content. Just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab to learn more. So what do you think about this one, listeners? Is it a UFO? Was it a ghost? Was it simply ball lightning? Or maybe just some sort of weird reflection? Whatever it was, I'm so glad you reported it here, caller. Because this is exactly the sorts of stories we like to share. So thank you again for calling in.
The people are watching this as a sort of zen to the...
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
All Saturday at 10 a.m. here on AM.
Now up next, we head down to Mississippi, where we hear from someone named Virginia.
Hey, Monsters Among Us. Love this show. So my name's Virginia, and I'm from Mississippi, and I thought I would call in with my story. So in 2014, I moved in with my ex, and he lived in a house that when I first moved in, he made a little joke about the house being haunted. I didn't believe him, but slowly things started to happen over a period of time. So nothing really big happened initially. Just it was always really dark in the house. You could never get it to be light. Just a super creepy feeling. A candle flew off the shelf once. The radio turned on by itself. Things like that. But it would go over a long period of time. So it wouldn't all happen at once. So one thing would happen and, you know, you'd be like, oh, that was weird. And you try to rationalize. Things started actually getting really crazy at a point where I woke up in the middle of the night. I sat up straight at 4 a.m. I didn't know why. Unbeknownst to me, in the living room, my ex was sitting on the couch and he saw a shadow figure go by towards my son's bedroom. So he got up and went towards his bedroom and leaned his head in, and my son was sitting straight up in the bed. And I heard him say, "Hey, buddy, are you okay?" I got up, walked down the hall to my son's room. So that was really weird that I just sat up immediately as this is going on. So I go into my son's room and he's sitting straight up in bed also. And he says, "I saw a man outside my window." And I said, "Well, what did he look like?" And he said, "He was a shadow man." And I said, "Okay, what was he wearing?" And he said, "A shadow shirt, shadow pants, and a shadow face." And he was like, "I was brave, Mom, I was brave." So after that happened, my son was traumatized. He would not sleep in the room. We had to jump through all kinds of hoops. He would grab onto the side of the doors when it was time for bed. It was a big issue, and I was doing everything I could to make him feel comfortable. He went to my mom's house to stay for a few days. I knew he was coming back, so I had put a crucifix up on the wall trying to just diffuse things. Well, when I knew he was coming back home, I didn't want the crucifix to kind of freak him out, you know, oh, all this is happening. Now there's a crucifix on my wall. That's how bad it is kind of thing. So I took it off and I set it in the drawer next to his bed so that it was still in his room. And I shut the drawer. A couple hours later, we're in the back watching TV and I heard a loud bang towards the front of the house. So we get up, we go try to find out what the noise was. Nothing is out of place. So going back down the hallway again, I looked in my son's room. The dresser drawer was out of the dresser on the other side of the room and on the floor. The dresser that I put the crucifix in. When that happened, that was truly the most amazing thing to this day that has ever happened to me. I could not explain it. I had just shut the drawer. We heard the loud bang. No one else was in the house. For that drawer to go across the room, it's impossible. After that happened, things were just happening constantly. One time I was laying in the bedroom and I started to Google like what to do about things in a house, you know, how to get rid of spirits. The minute I picked my phone up, it was like it knew what I was doing. The fan started slowing down, the ceiling fan, and then the room was like thick. And I heard this sound. It was like a high-pitched noise. And I immediately set the phone down. I was like, okay, I won't. And the moment I did that, the fan started going back again and the sound was gone. It was incredible. One time in the middle of the night, I sat up straight out the bed and I was behind and above myself and I could see my ex get out the bed and he was talking to me and I see my hand go straight out and I'm pointing at him and I see this from behind and above myself and I'm saying things out of my mouth and I look down and I'm like, that's not me. I'm not doing that. And when I acknowledge this, I start screaming. And the minute I start screaming, it was like I came back into my body again. My ex said that I scared the hell out of him and I was saying something to him. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I love the show. Keep it up. Thanks, guys.
Good Lord, Virginia. It sounds like quite a bit of activity. The out-of-body experience perhaps being of most concern. I don't think that's normal. And I can completely understand why something like that might have a tendency to freak you out. No, I guess next time someone tells you that their place is haunted, I guess you better believe them. Thank you again, Virginia, for calling in. Now, folks, for this next submission, we'll need our passports, because we're headed to England. Please welcome TJ to tonight's show.
Hi, Derek. It's TJ here in Somerset in England. Listening to your podcast reminded me of a UFO sighting I had. It was 4th of November 2020, so during the sort of lockdown era. My son was living with us for that period and I was looking after his dog. So we went for a lovely walk out on the Downs in Wiltshire, which is nearby. Basically, it was a very, very clear, bright day, lovely November day. The dog suddenly decided he wanted to pull. He was on the lead because there were sheep in the field. So obviously he was sort of pulling and pulling, which seemed a bit strange. For some reason, I looked up and there was a long, I can only describe it as cigarette shape. The object was glinting and would sort of intermittently appear and disappear. It headed off towards the south. At this point, as I watched it, there were like three, I would say silver, but they just looked like bright white discs. And they just dropped out of the main object. Now, it was a bright, clear day. So I thought, right, I'm going to get my camera out. I aimed my, it's only an iPhone camera, but I don't know whether it just wouldn't pick up what I was trying to film. You know, not great if you're trying to film something in the sky anyway. So that didn't happen. So these three discs dropped out from this main cigar-shaped thing. They moved really erratically and the speed was just like super fast. I mean, they would suddenly appear in one location and disappear and then reappear in another, almost literally within the blink of an eye. It didn't make any sound. It was above me, I don't know, several thousand feet. It was probably lower than you'd expect a jet, but higher than maybe local light aircraft. It was hard to determine the size of the object. It was certainly much larger than any known plane I'd had. I guess maybe five or six times the size. The dog was whining and pulling and trying to get away, and the air felt really charged. Do you know, like you get just before a thunderstorm? I have no idea what these were. There were no clouds, no wind. There was no noise whatsoever. Then they just suddenly disappeared. They were there, then they weren't there. The area is known to be used at Salisbury Plain for military, but unless the military have come up with something incredibly fast, I have no idea what that was. It wasn't like you'd imagine flares or anything. There was no colour to these things. There was just this massive cigar-shaped craft, for want of a better word, and these three discs just kind of dropped all in unison. And they sort of zigzagged around and then they were there and then they just weren't there. The whole thing was gone. As I said, I tried to take photos, but whether they were too high up or, I don't know, maybe some blocking technology, I really don't know. But the dog was very unhappy. And all I can say was that the air felt charged, a bit like before you have a thunderstorm. I looked on any local websites, didn't seem to be any military training going on, which normally you would hear, because as I said, it was during the lockdown period and it was supremely quiet. The dog, as I said, was very skittish, just did not want to be there. My hairs on the back of my neck went up because I was also like, what the hell is this? I don't know what it was. Very strange. The area in and around Wiltshire on the Downs is also quite a hot spot, I believe, for UFO activity. So maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I can only tell you what I saw and how I felt and how the dog reacted. I did share this, a book called UK UFO Sightings by Ash Ellis, which if anybody wants to have a read up on those, there's plenty in there. Otherwise, who knows? Thanks for the podcast. Really enjoying all those tales.
Thank you, TJ. A cigar-shaped craft. Now, believe it or not, that used to be one of the more common shapes reported. But you don't hear that a lot these days. And the same can be said for the disc-like objects that seem to drop from the cigar-shaped object. The disc was a very popular description given in the 50s, 60s, and early part of the 70s. Now, normally, I would suggest that this might have been some high-altitude paratroopers simply jumping out of a plane. Perhaps the large cigar shape was the plane's fuselage, and it was simply just too high in the air to see the plane's wings. But the way TJ described the craft jumping from one area to the other, not only have I heard that report a few times before, it also pretty much rules out any chance that this could be a conventional aircraft. Now, the fact that she wasn't able to photograph whatever this was, well, that doesn't go unnoticed either. Just an episode or two ago, we shared a story about someone that thought they filmed a UFO, only to find out that the footage never took in the first place. So this sort of thing comes up often. And there's one final piece to the puzzle here. The dog. It didn't like what was going on. And that's all I needed to hear. If the pup thought it was suspicious, then I imagine that it was. But despite all of this, TJ, I still have no idea what you saw that day. But we really do appreciate that you thought to share it here with us. So thank you again, TJ, for calling in.
Finding better ways to cope.
For a business today and earn $500 when they say, join the program.
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Access all your music, radio stations, and podcasts. Or even easier,
goldinvestments.com.
Now, these next three calls are downright unsettling. And to kick off this back slate of calls, please welcome Chris to tonight's program.
Hi, my name's Chris, and I'm from Florida. So this happened to me in Miami. So, little backstory. My uncle is practicing Santero, which is Santeria. And this happened a couple years back, 2017, 2016. So he came over from Cuba to my house he was just visiting and, you know, catching up. And then he had some friends come over, and my mom told me to stay in my room. My window was facing into the backyard, so I was kind of spying on them, seeing what they were doing. They dug a hole, and they sacrificed a goat and a chicken and bled it out into the hole. And I saw them drop something into the hole earlier, which is something like a little idol of their deity. Then they buried the hole. You know, it was all cool, because I'm sort of used to that stuff. And that night, well, they were gone, and I was playing video games, and my back window opened, and it was about 2, 3 a.m., and I was completely sober when this happened. So I'm playing video games on a low volume, and I noticed that there was noise outside and everything, crickets chirping. Then it suddenly stopped. There was no wind, no noise. I thought it was odd because I live in a gated neighborhood and there was traffic outside, always. And then everything was silent, absolutely silent. And I noticed that it was like 100% dark. It was darkness outside. And I had this weird feeling that something was out there. So my window was open. I see black fingers, abnormally long, with clawed tips. And they were slowly going past my window and curling, trying to open it. And I am silent. I am shocked. Because I've had experiences with nothing like this. It was so surreal. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Just go. Just leave me alone. I don't know how long I was just staring at his hand. But all of a sudden, it just lets go and slowly creeps back into the darkness. And then boom, just like a switch flipped, all of the noise came back, everything. And I looked out the window, there was nothing there, and I closed it. So the next day, I asked my mom, like, what happened? What was that? And she said that it was my uncle's little idol deity that came out and was like looking around. And I was so freaked out. My dog, for months, wouldn't go near that spot where they buried the thing. It was so odd. That's my story. Thanks for listening. And I love the show. Bye.
Thanks, Chris. Yeti, another dog that knows what's up. Like the dog in TJ's story. This one, too, knew things just weren't right. And speaking of not right, something here ain't right. What did the uncle bury in that hole? What was the purpose of the ritual? Did they at least eat the goat and chicken afterward? Seems like an awful shame if they didn't. But I bet there was a purpose to what was done that evening. But who knows if the purpose was to manifest the strange creature that Chris saw. So I don't know, Chris. Your guess here is as good as mine. But I do appreciate the phone call, and I absolutely love the spooky story. Now how about a good old-fashioned cryptid story to cleanse our palate? Please join me in welcoming Brittany from Ohio to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Brittany, just giving you a call. I currently live in the Cleveland, Ohio area, but I am from Southern Ohio. And this story is actually not mine. It's my uncle's. He was having a nightmare one night, and it woke him up. And when he woke up, he noticed that his door to his house was wide open. So he went and looked out the door, and he sees this thing that looks like a dog by his dumpster. So he like makes a noise, whatever, to try to scare it off. And it takes off running. He said it was a huge black dog and the legs kind of looked like spaghetti noodles. And he ran toward his machinery. He does like some contracting work. So he has like track hose and back hose and stuff like that. And the dog took off and just did a standing jump over top of the backhoe. And he disappeared after that. He didn't know where he was. My uncle's pretty tough dude. Nothing really scares him at all. And he was terrified about this. He got goosebumps all over his arm. He still gets goosebumps and scared when he tells people the story. And when he retells it, he tells people he doesn't care if they believe him because he knows what he saw. But he just wants to tell them the story to see if anybody else has seen anything like that. And he also had a big dog, Great Pyrenees, that's outside. And normally she doesn't want to go into her shelter at all. But she was in her shelter that night. And she normally barks at any moving thing. And she wasn't even barking at this or making any indication that there was something out there. And then he also has security cameras on his house. And it literally sets off just a bug flies by. And the security camera, it wasn't triggered at all. We're just wondering if anybody else has seen anything like this, maybe in the Southern Ohio area. Not sure if it's Dogman or werewolf or some kind of other phenomenon. Thanks.
Thank you, Brittany. Now, I sort of grew up more in East Central Ohio than Southeastern. But truth be told, we were right there on the border. So you just might be in my old stomping grounds, Brittany. And if you are, I just might be able to put you on a few other stories that could corroborate what your uncle claims. For starters, this isn't the first time we've heard of a creature like this in that very same area. Season 13, episode 14, featured a call by Lydia in the Zanesville area, who was at home when her father burst through the door, grabbed his rifle, and fled back to the pasture. Apparently, he'd seen a coyote-like creature with dark fur, a longer snout, and longer ears as it was trying to attack the family's German Shepherd. That creature approached on two legs, but retreated on two. And additionally, there's this report out of the Athens area, courtesy of the North American Dogman Project. One evening in Athens, Ohio, a man and his girlfriend were driving down a remote country road when two deer jumped in front of the car. His girlfriend brought the car to a stop, but before they resumed their journey, a giant creature stepped in front of the car's taillights and down an embankment. The man exited the car to get a better look and saw a 7-foot-tall beast with dark brown fur, a dome-shaped head with flat sides, and pointed ears on the top of its head. Kind of like a dog. Both witnesses agreed that it appeared too big to be a person. And apparently, whatever this creature is, it's been sighted in this area for quite some time. The following ran on the January 6, 1954 edition of the Washington Courthouse Record Herald. That big black dog, which farmers believe has been the chief offender in a sheep-killing orgy, has hit upwards of a score of farms in Jefferson Township in the past 3 months, has killed again. Three sheep met bloody deaths early Wednesday, and again the big black dog was trailed into Jeffersonville. When J.A. Whistler, whose farm is a mile east of Jeffersonville, went to the sheep barn after daylight, he found three mangled sheep and a big black dog was still there, but fled when Whistler approached. Now, no word on spaghetti noodle legs, unfortunately. But those are three additional stories from that part of the state that all seem to be describing something awfully similar. And you know, although I've always believed that what I saw when I was 9 or 10 years old was feline in nature, it was big, it was black, and it was pretty damn scary. So who's to say that I didn't see this creature as well? Either way, Thank you again, Brittany, for preserving your uncle's account. And that, folks, takes us to tonight's final entry. And here with a wild story is Matt out of Canada.
Hey, Derek. It's Matt from Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Here's what I got for you. It's about being a jumper. I know it sounds crazy, but it's so out of this world. This happened to me more than I can explain. And I'm not sure if it's because of different things, but the first time I ever jumped was back in high school, back in 1995. I was a young skateboarder, had a control kid. We liked to party and drink and do drugs and whatnot. One night on the weekend, I was out at a friend's house and I had to make it home, but I lived about 10 kilometers outskirts of the town. So then what I would do is I would get on my bike and head home in the middle of the night and try to sneak back in home, you know, teenager stuff. This one night I was going home and it was about 3 a.m. and I came to this part in the road where the culvert had washed out, all of the water had taken the main road. So the only way that I could go anywhere towards my house would be backtrack, go 30 or 40 kilometers each other way to go around this river to make it home and be safe. Anyway, I blinked and I woke up and I was in my bed, dry as a bone, still had my boots on and everything, just like I was at the party and then left. But hey, chalked it up for being pretty buzzed. Who knows? Maybe I just had a pretty good night. The second time that this happened to me was about 3 years ago or so. I was at a local pub and I was leaving and I was about a 3 minute walk to my house from this pub. And yeah, I had a whole bunch of beers and I was having fun and I was pretty drunk. So I decided to walk it off and walk home. And then the next thing you know, I put my headphones in. I was listening to some punk rock music. I looked up and all of a sudden I was about 15 kilometers or so the other way into the city. I couldn't believe it. I was so angry, but I knew I had jumped again just randomly. But hey, I was by myself. I chalked it up for being drunk. Okay, no one's going to believe me. The third time that this happened to me was about maybe 6 months after that. I was with a girl that I just started dating. We were sober as a judge, went for a walk and through the park and to go pick something up, and started a snowstorm. And we're like, oh, we better hurry up. And we saw this guy walking his poodle in the middle of the park. And all of a sudden he stopped. We both bent over to pet this beautiful dog. And then we looked up and we were 4 or 5 blocks another way towards our destination. She looked at me and she was terrified and she said, what happened? I said, I'll have to explain to you what happened here. Let me tell you all about it. We were both sober and two of us did this jump in time. Unbelievable. But then it happened again just recently, maybe within a year ago. Terrifying stuff. But me and a friend of mine were driving down the road, ironically close to the same park, Victoria Park in Moncton, New Brunswick. We came to this stop sign and we had to take a left. And he turned to right because we were talking. I said, bro, where are you going? We're going the wrong way, man. We're supposed to go that way. He laughed, I laughed, and we're having a good laugh. And then all of a sudden we focused on the road ahead, and we must have been 5 or 10 minutes closer to my house where we were headed, but we just blinked. And he looked at me and said, what just happened? I said, man, my house is right there. Pull over. I'm going to have to explain to you what just happened. I don't know how to explain it, but it's the true story. It happened to me 4 times in my life. 2 of them were with 2 different people. I don't know if it's because I was struck by lightning as a kid twice, my house and then in front of us at a frog pond when we were really, really little, but I mean, pretty freaky stuff. I wish I knew if there was anybody out there that knew what I'm talking about at all or if it's happened to them. I'm a dedicated podcast. Loved it. Can't wait to hear what you got on the list for the next episode. Peace.
Thank you, Matt. I'm getting Donnie Darko vibes here. And could you imagine if you learned to control this talent? Frankly, the possibilities could be endless. And may the gods help us if the military figures out that this talent exists. Now, I don't have a lot to say about this just yet, because I'm not that familiar with the jumper concept. I need more data. So if you too are a jumper, or you know someone that might be, I want to hear from you. 888-608-NIGHT. I just need to hear more. So for now, I'll keep my ears open, Matt. and I'll do some digging around and asking around in the meantime. This won't be the last time this wild ability is discussed. But until that day comes, thank you once again, Matt, for getting the convo started. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show for the evening. Be sure to stick around until after the credits and the outro to not only learn how you can get more Monsters Among Us, but how you can do so for absolutely free. But before we do all that, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All audio used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to give us a like and follow on all our social media accounts. Hit us up over on YouTube as well while you're at it. And since you're online, you may as well leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. We greatly appreciate the 5 stars. Don't forget that you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to learn more. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bad Audio. A huge thanks to all of tonight's callers. A big thanks to you for stopping by. And an even bigger thanks to all those that will meet me in tonight's Beyond. But until then,
why you need the plan?
Insurance isn't one size fits all, and shopping for it shouldn't feel like squeezing into something that just doesn't fit. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they show you options that fit your budget. Enough hunting for discounts, trying to calculate rates, and tinkering with coverages. Maybe you're picking out your very first policy, or maybe you're just looking for something that works better for you and your family. Either way, make it simple to see your options. No guesswork, no surprises. Ready to see how easy and fun shopping for car insurance can be? Visit Progressive.com and give the Name Your Price tool a try. Take the stress out of shopping and find coverage that fits your life on your terms. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is being bought and sold every day. Data brokers are making billions, pulling details about you from public records and the internet, then packaging and selling it, usually without your consent. That's how your information lands in the hands of scammers, spammers, even stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and why ads seem to follow you everywhere. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off. They also instantly alert you if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, dark web monitoring, and even up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. All backed by 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other companies might sell just credit monitoring or just a VPN. Aura gives you all of it, together, at the same price competitors charge for just one service. Start your free trial today at aura.com/ready. Protect yourself now at aura.com/ready.
Picks, pick it instantly when you play your game.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8-year-old? Listen closely.
Well, if you're still listening, then congrats. You've stumbled upon the secret portion of the program. A little bonus story, like the final track on a 90s album, or the jump scare at the end of a horror movie. And I think tonight's bonus is something straight out of a horror film. Please join me in welcoming Grandpa Larry to the platform.
I'm calling in because my grandson listened to your show, but I don't, and he wanted me to tell you my story. I was young, probably around 10 or 11, in Asheville, North Carolina. I had my sister and my next-door neighbor. We were all playing on the rope swing, and the rope swing was in a valley. We were on one side. We were swinging on the rope swing, and my sister said, "Look over there." And on the stump on the other side, we all three saw what we considered to be a small devil sitting on the stump. So, of course, we all ran away as kids, being scared, and came back, and it wasn't there. But we all three seen the same thing that day. Looked like just a small devil. I say it had horns, like you would think a devil would look like, just a miniature devil.
Thank you, Grandpa Larry, and Larry's grandson, for having you call in. A little devil on a stump. You know, that's not something you hear about every day. Unless you're a listener of Monsters Among Us, that is. Because in that case, we cover this sort of thing every Tuesday and every Thursday. And also, on Thursdays, we go beyond. And that's where we're headed right this very minute. To join us, just sign up for our Patreon or our Apple subscription campaigns. To do so, just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon button. Join us over in the beyond, where I share just a few more calls per episode. Calls like Sarah's, out of the state of Florida.
Hey, Derek. This is Sarah from Florida. I was listening to your podcast, which I'm really enjoying. It keeps me company at night. I work in a haunted building. Like, forklift horns will go off when I walk past them. So it's more entertainment value, you know, working there. Anyway, I'm caught up to season 8, episode 10, and there was a man who had seen a giant mountain lion, and you thought it might have been the African lion because they had a collar on it. Well, my husband had gone to a big cat rescue, and they have something called a liger, which is a cross between a lion and a tiger, and apparently they don't stop growing. And I thought he was making this up, but I looked it up, and they just don't stop growing, so they can turn into monsters. And the fact they had a collar on and that it didn't go after them makes me think it was someone's pet.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.